This show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And today's topic is brass quintets, specifically the Axiom Brass Quintet. They're based in Chicago. Their players come from various areas, including from Brazil. One of their two trumpet players, whose name is Dorival Puccini Jr., or as he says to most of his friends, Dorival. And he'll be my guest on the show today, talking about the group and in preparation for their concert tomorrow night at Eastern Illinois University's Dowden of Fine Arts Center. That concert starts at 7:30. They have quite a wide repertory, and they have a new CD that is called New Standards, of which this is the opening piece. It was a piece called Mini Overture by Polish composer Witold Ludosławski, performed by the Axiom Brass Quintet from their new CD called New Standards. They are going to be playing at the Dowden of Fine Arts Center on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston tomorrow night at 7:30 as part of their residency there. It's a group based in Chicago. And with me on the phone is one of the trumpeters of the group, Dorival Puccini Jr. And as I said, they're based in Chicago. He lives there, teaches around there. Thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
So tell me a little bit about the genesis of the group.
Well, you know, the group dates back from, we started in 2006, and it was sort of an outlet for making music together. We actually had experience making music together back when we were in school at the Juilliard School in New York, and after we left, you know, we all went to different places. I was at the time in Michigan. There was some people that were in Oregon, some people in upstate New York, and we decided we would get together for a little amount of time, rehearse a lot, and play concerts. Little by little, it got more and more difficult to do that. It was, you know, with family and work and things like that, it got a little more difficult, and some people started leaving the group, and at the time, I was relocating to Chicago, so we started auditioning new people in Chicago, and that's how the quintet became a Chicago-based ensemble. Now everybody lives in Chicago, and actually the other four guys went to school in Chicago, three of them at Northwestern University and one of them at DePaul. So I'm the only one that went to school in New York that's still left. So I guess I'm the only original founding member.
Oh, wow. So these are all, everybody else is a new recruit since the group got started.
Yeah. But I think the person that has been with the group for the shortest amount of time has been in the group for at least about 2.5 years now.
And which are the three that went to Northwestern? That was my alma mater.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, we have Colin Oldberg on trumpet, and we have Matthew Oliphant on French horn, and Brett Johnson on trombone that all went to Northwestern.
Just out of curiosity, do you know, is Colin related to Richard Oldberg?
The
former horn player of the Chicago
horn
Symphony.
Horn player, yeah, I think it's his uncle.
Oh, really? Because he was one of my teachers at Northwestern.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's a really small world, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's been amazing the number of people that I've talked to on this show who went there, and it's always fun to talk to brass players. I'd be kind of curious to know what Dick Oldberg is doing right now. I just Googled him a little earlier and don't have any idea. But anyway.
I don't know what he's been up to lately.
Well, maybe ask Colin to drop me a note since you have my email, and we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do.
We'll find out. And while I'm asking questions like that, do you know a group called the Asbury Brass?
Yes.
Are they still playing?
You know, I couldn't tell you that. I don't know. I just remember their old recordings. I think there's even one with Bud Herseth.
Yeah, there was.
Was quite fun to listen to. But I couldn't tell you. I haven't heard much of about them in the last couple of years.
Yeah, some friends of mine, former colleagues of mine, used to play in that, or maybe they still do if they're still playing. Talk a little bit about the repertory for brass quintet. Your CD is called New Standards, which certainly implies that there are old standards. And the piece we opened with by Ludoslavski isn't one that I had happened to have heard before, but for all I know, it might. I guess the name implies it has become a standard for brass quintet.
Absolutely, yeah. The premise on old standards was that all the pieces recorded there, at the time that they were conceived, they became a new standard for writing music for brass. So you have music that comes all the way back from the early 1900s, end of the 1800s, with the Victor Ewald Brass Quintet No. 3, and that certainly became a new standard on writing for brass instruments at that time, even though Ewald was not the first one to write for brass quintet. He's certainly the earliest we have as far as brass quintet repertoire goes. He's certainly the most well-known earliest compositions we've found. But then at the time that each one of those pieces came to be, they became automatically became a standard on the brass repertoire. And you have everything there from, Witold Lutoslawski's Miniouverture, which I think is the shortest masterpiece of the brass repertoire. It's a really quick 2.5 minute little overture that is just absolutely fantastic. And you have from everything there, from music that is influenced by Latin jazz with the three Paquito de Rivera pieces. And then you have the music of Anders Hilborg, who is not as well known in the U.S. yet, but has developed quite a reputation in Europe. And his music is really phenomenal, and I think his brass quintet is certainly one of the most fun pieces I've ever heard in a long time. It has some really incredible effects, including a whole section where it sounds like, you know, an LP being played backwards.
Mm.
And you have the music of Eric Uwaisen, who has become a staple of brass repertoire, and Cliff Colnett, was a Chicago-based composer and conductor who always mixed a lot in his music because he has a background both in the jazz element, the Latin element, and also in classical music. So it's a really diverse CD that aims to show all those pieces that became standards at the time that they were conceived.
Well, let's play a little bit from the earliest one, as you referred to Victor Ewald, from his quintet number 2. I know he has several, but I've forgotten how many.
There's 4 of them.
4 of them, and they've all become standards in their way.
Absolutely. Their way. I think numbers 1 and 2 probably, I would say 1, 2, and 3 are very, very popular. 4 is less popular. And there's an interesting little story about that I'll tell you about after we play this one.
Sure. Okay. Well, here's the final movement of the quintet number 2 by Victor Ewald, played here by the Axiom Brass. They're going to be at Down a Fine Arts Center in Charleston tomorrow night at 7:30. You're listening to Live and Local. We heard the final movement of Victor Ewald's second brass quintet, played by the Axiom Brass Quintet here on Live and Local. My guest is Dorival Puccini, who is one of the trumpet players. Do you generally play first trumpet, or do you guys switch off?
No, we switch off. You know, Axiom's concert, it's pretty heavy. It's a little more demanding than the average brass quintet concert you're used to. So we find it best to split the program in half.
So Colin Oldberg is the other trumpet player, Matthew Oliphant on horn, Kevin Harrison tuba, and Brett Johnson on the trombone. So you said you had an interesting story about these Ewald quintets.
Absolutely, yeah. They're actually all misnumbered. So in reality, number one is actually number two, number two is number three, number three is number four, and number four is number one. But they were labeled in the order that they were found, not in the order that they were actually composed. And number four, for a long time, was believed to be a string quartet, not a brass quintet. And I think a couple of the reasons for that is that I believe there is an arrangement of it by Ewald himself as a string quartet. So, and because it's actually a very demanding brass quintet, especially for that time, people thought that he just arranged one of his string quartets, but it was actually the other way around. He wrote it as a brass quintet, then him and his friends found it too difficult, and then he rewrote it as a string quartet. I think that's probably one of the few examples where a brass quintet became a string quartet.
More likely for things to go the other way around.
Exactly.
I noted that that your concert repertoire does include a nice variety of many kinds, including some of these transcriptions from string quartet. What are some examples of that?
Well, we do transcribe some string quartets. In the past, we've done Mendelssohn's Strings Quartet Number 2, which was a fantastic journey playing that. You know, we in the brass world, we miss out a little bit on the romantic repertoire. So we often go into the string quartet repertoire to find some romantic music. I think, you know, Ewald is basically all we have of the romantic repertoire. And it's beautiful music. It's extremely well written, which is remarkable for someone that wasn't even a musician per se. You know, Ewald was an amateur musician. He was actually a civil engineer, but he really enjoyed playing and writing music. So,
and where was he from?
He's a Russian composer. Well, he's a Russian engineer and amateur composer.
Yeah. Well, that was true for a number of the very famous Russian composers,
yeah,
like Mussorgsky and I forget now some of the other ones.
Yeah, absolutely. So I really think that Ewald's biggest contribution to chamber music was not just his four brass quintets, but actually the fact that he really encompasses what chamber music is about, you know, and that's what we love so much about our concerts is that it becomes an environment where it's just friends sharing music, you know, a bunch of friends listening to all the friends play, and it becomes a much more intimate experience. You know, we try to make it into sort of like a big living room with all those friends sitting around and listening to some fun music and talking about that music as well.
Well, you as a quintet have won a number of competitions. You personally have won a number of competitions, but you also and one of the awards you got from the Fischhoff competition, as I understand, was their education award. What?
Yep.
Just last year.
Yes.
So this is a big part of your mission as a quintet is to present programs for young people. Talk a little bit about what you do for them and why you do it.
Well, you know, we do feel that brass quintet as a chamber music media has a little bit of a stereotype as not being a serious musical outlet. Most of the time it's envisioned as more of an entertainment act. And you know, with some truth to it, as there are groups that mainly focus on that entertainment aspect, like, you know, on the top of my head, I think, you know, Canadian Brass and perhaps the Boston Brass and Dallas Brass, those groups fit in that area. So we feel that being able to educate a young generation of music appreciators and musicians on the fact that, you know, chamber music for brass can be a beautiful art form as well, just like string quartet or piano trios or any other chamber music formation, is really important to us. So our educational programs are not a whole lot different than our actual concerts. I would say probably the length of it is the biggest difference, but, you know, the kids experience the same kind of repertoire. We play 20th century music, and actually, the more forward 20th century music we play, the more they like it, to be honest, which in the beginning was very surprising to us, but I think it makes total sense, you know. But besides that, it's really, I think it's basically the same format. And actually, we take a huge educational approach to our concerts as well. You know, between pieces, we're always talking about the works that we're playing. But once again, with an approach that I think makes all the difference. You know, it's oftentimes when you have a chamber music group performing legit repertoire, it can become a academic experience. You know, it's just sort of like a almost a elite kind of thing. But that's what we try to break with a very informal presentation of what we're playing. And it's really based on what draws us personally to the music we play, what makes us love it so much, and why we feel it's so important that we share that music. So it becomes a personal description of, you know, what we do, which I think is much more interesting than just telling a bunch of facts.
I want to go back to your comment earlier about the younger kids, especially enjoying the newer music, and you said that seemed surprising at first, but then made a lot of sense. Why do you think it made sense? Makes sense.
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing that at first it surprised us because, you know, as we know, even in the more established classical music audience, there is a little bit of trouble accepting new music. But I think that the thing, so we expected that to be the same way with young kids because we thought perhaps they are not ready to hear new music, but that wasn't the case. And that isn't the case with established audiences either. I think the fact is that they don't get exposed to that often enough. And once they get exposed to that and they're able to understand it, and I think that's where the presentation plays a big role, once they're able to understand that, then they're much more likely to relate to the music and they start to enjoy it. And I think that's what we discovered, is that it doesn't matter if we're playing for a kindergarten class or if we're playing for established concert series audience, if we can create a link to the audience and the music, the new music that's being performed, then people are able to enjoy it. And actually, you know, every concert we have, people come out and tell us, you know, I just can't wait for you to record this one piece. And, you know, I want to listen to it over and over again. And that was the very first time they ever heard that piece. So I think to us, that's a very rewarding experience. As a matter of fact, just Friday night, we performed a concert in Detroit. And it was in a church concert series that's very used to the you know, the usual classical repertoire. They're used to listen to string quartets and things like that. And a lot of the people in the concert at first were kind of worried and you know, a little concerned about the repertoire that was going to be presented. And I remember coming back to the green room during intermission, I ran into a lady that was on her phone outside, and she grabbed me and she got, you know, I came to the concert and I wasn't so sure I was going to like it because I didn't know the repertoire, but right now I'm calling all my friends to tell them to come catch the second half.
Wow.
So I really think it's about the presentation and creating that link between music and audience.
And that's kind of the best, that's the best kind of marketing right there too, is by audience word of mouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just hope it'll work when it's on that short notice.
I know.
Come to the second half of the concert. Well, we're talking with Dorival Puccini of the Axiom Brass Quintet, encouraging folks to consider coming to their concert tomorrow night. We give you a whole day and a half notice here. They're going to be at Eastern Illinois University's Doudna Fine Arts Center in Charleston for a 7:30 concert, and giving some classes there. I don't know if those classes are open to the public. You can certainly check in at Eastern and and see if you can find out about the classes in the afternoon, which I think, Dorval, didn't you say it's about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, something like that?
Yeah, there's one class at 2 o'clock that's going to be on the music business. It's just a class about getting into the music business and the whole business part of making music. And then at 3:30, we'll have a chamber music class where we're going to work with several ensembles from the university.
Well, I was looking at looking through your website, and I saw that you present not only educational programs, but you have at least offer some thematic concerts.
Yeah.
One you call Standard Time, Sacred Brass, and then, of course, you'll play with concertos or do special Latin programs. Is the Latin and celebrating the Americas, is that have anything to do with your own background as a Brazilian or not?
I guess I would be a little more inclined to play that kind of music, right? But even our Standard Time concert, it does have some Latin music on it as well. We've been doing a lot of Astor Piazzolla transcriptions for brass quintet that have been really well received. And actually, we're going to be performing 3 tangos from Piazzolla and tomorrow's concert. So if you enjoy Piazzolla, there's definitely going to be some for you there. But yeah, we do go into that Latin music a little bit, probably because of me. But I think all 5 of us are really in love with Latin music, so it's easy to program it.
Is that a growing area for brass, either composition or transcription? Is Latin music?
I would say so. Yes, I would say so. I think there's wonderful composers in Central and Latin America, and there's wonderful music to draw influence from as well. And I think there's obviously been a great surge of crossover, classical music that's greatly infusion by Latin jazz. So I think it is a growing trend, and it's one that we enjoy very much. We really like getting music, whether it's originally written or as transcriptions that we do, but it's definitely really beautiful music to be played, especially music like the music of Tom Jobim or Astor Piazzolla. Music of Piazzolla is just fascinating. I think Piazzolla turned the tango into a classical expression of Argentinian music, and I think it can't be ignored by us.
Well, let's go out with a Latin-tinged piece. This is by the clarinet player, isn't he? Paquito de Rivera?
Yeah, Cuban-born clarinetist, yeah.
From his 3 pieces for brass quintet. Oh, I don't know. Why don't we do the first movement, which is a dance form, Huapango. Is this originally written for brass quintet or transcribed from anything else?
No, he wrote this for brass quintet, and then after that, he has rewritten it. We were talking about the Ewald rewriting as a string quartet. Believe it or not, this exact piece, has been rewritten as a string quartet as well, and I believe also a saxophone quartet.
Well, it's a wonderful piece. It's on the Axiom Brass Quintet album called New Standards. Will you be playing this on Thursday night?
Or I think we might throw it in as an encore.
Ooh, you didn't say that. We don't want to give that away. Then again, you might not have it as an encore. You might have something else.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great to talk to you. Dorival Puccini Jr. is one of the 2 trumpet players of Axiom, and along with Colin Oldberg, the horn players Matthew Oliphant, trombonist Brett Johnson, and tuba player Kevin Harrison. They're based in Chicago, and their concert at the Dowden Fine Arts Center does start at 7:30 tomorrow night. Thanks very much for joining us, and best of luck with your current tour.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
It was the first of the three pieces for brass quintet by Paquito de Rivera, the movement called Huapango, performed by Axiom Brass Quintet from their CD called New Standards. They'll be playing at the Downtown Fine Arts Center in Charleston tomorrow night at 7:30. You're listening to Live and Local. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois. Now featuring new exhibits entitled A Century of Stories and Sounds from the Stage, Music, Dance, and Theater in America. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. Should Black History Month be ended? Find out why that question is asked. More than a month, our next community cinema examines what the treatment of history tells us about race and power in contemporary America. The free public screening will be at the main Champaign Public Library next Tuesday, February 7th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. The film is closed captioned and the discussion translated by a sign language interpreter. We actually have plenty of time on the show today, so I thought I'd play the other two of those three pieces for brass quintet by Paquito de Rivera. They're called, respectively, Danzón and El Cura. Again, it's the Axiom Brass Quintet. Axiom Brass Quintet, the second and third of three pieces for brass quintet by Paquito de Rivera. We heard danzón, which I think just means dance, and el cura, excuse me, which I believe means the priest. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9 from their album called New Standards, and the Axiom Brass Quintet will be at the Dowden Fine Arts Center on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston tomorrow night at 7:30. We have support for today's show from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. Among the performers coming up in the next few days are the Pacifica Quartet in residence at the University of Illinois. They are giving concert number 4 in their traversal of all of Beethoven's string quartets. Number 4 is reported to contain the very first of Beethoven's 16, and this is the opening movement of that first quartet, is Quartet in F Major, Opus 18, number 1. We'll hear it played by the Cleveland Quartet in this performance on Live and Local. That was the Cleveland Quartet playing the first movement of the first quartet by Ludwig van Beethoven, his Opus 18 number 1, which will be on the concert tonight by the Pacifica Quartet at the Krannert Center. I'm sorry, not tonight, tomorrow night by the Pacifica Quartet in the at the Krannert Center in Urbana. It's their fourth recital as they're traversing the complete cycle of Beethoven quartets tomorrow night, 7:30. There you're listening to Live and Local. Here are some of the other events going on in our listening area of the next couple of days. Donnie Heitler has his weekly solo jazz keyboard gig at the Great Impasta in Urbana this evening at 6 o'clock. It's the weekly traditional Irish music session at Bentley's Pub in Champaign. That's at 7 o'clock tonight. John Miller and the Romantics play gypsy jazz at Rhythm Kitchen in Peoria. That's tonight at 6:30. And the Central Illinois Jazz Orchestra, also in Peoria tonight at the Fieldhouse Bar and Grill at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, the Orchestra Concerto Aria Finals concert is at the Illinois State University at the Center for the Performing Arts there in Normal. That's at 7 o'clock tomorrow. The New Orleans Jazz Machine is at the Krannert tomorrow night before the Pacifica Quartet. They're actually performing on the weekly Uncorked program. That's tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. The Anasazi String Quartet, who are graduate students at the University of Illinois, are performing a short program for free at the Beckman Institute on the U of I campus in Urbana. That's at 12:20 tomorrow, just after noon. The Department of Theater at the University of Illinois presents The Last Days of Judas Iscariot at the Krannert Center, 7:30 tomorrow through Saturday at the same time. Station Theater in Urbana opens Stephen Sondheim's Company tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, runs through Sunday and for the next few weeks as well. We're working to bring them on the show shortly. The Prairie Dogs are playing at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute on their music series tomorrow at noon. University of Illinois Jazz Combo, one of the jazz combos from the U of I, will be at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And I deliberately skipped over a couple who are that are happening tonight. There's a couple of acoustic shows at Intervana in Champaign. And Champaign in the High Dive, it's Acoustic Cafe with Pieta Brown, Kelly Jo Phelps, and Carrie Rodriguez. That's at 7 o'clock tonight. And at the Iron Post in Urbana, also at 7, a singer-songwriter showcase with Haley Jane, Kevin Elliott, and Angie Heaton. And I thought I would share, since the only one I have a recording of here at the station is Kevin Elliott. This comes from his CD from 2006 called You Really Had to Be There. And the song is called Where Have All My Victims Gone?
Spoonful of honey, bucket of bees, blow my money like confetti in the breeze. Pleased to meet you, now you buzz along. Lonely time at the scene of the crime, been too long just to sing the same old song. Where oh where have my victims gone? I'm a handsome child, I'm the devil's brute. I keep on wearing this monkey suit with a tear in my eye. Now why you wanna steal away? Hear 'em snicker, cracking their jokes. Shark fin flickers in a sea of smoke. I'm broke, but I ain't broken. Nobody's laughing at the lines unspoken. I do what I should, I'm misunderstood. I ain't welcome in your neighborhood. I guess this wasn't written in Hollywood, 'cause it don't end good. I'm a handsome child, I'm the devil's brute. I keep on wearing this monkey suit with a tear in my eye. Now why you wanna steal away? I'm a handsome child, I'm the devil's brute. I keep on wearing this monkey suit with a tear in my eye. Now why you wanna steal away? Lonely time at the scene of the crime. Been too long just to sing this same old song. Where have all my victims gone? I'm weak and wild. Now don't get cute. I'm a handsome child. I'm the devil's brute.
Kevin Elliott, his song called Where Have All My Victims Gone from the CD You Really Had to Be There. He's going to be at the Iron Post tonight at 7 o'clock along with Angie Heaton and Haley Jane in a singer-songwriter showcase. That's Live and Local for today. Thanks very much for joining us. I'll be back tomorrow at noon. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. We also have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a selection of new arrivals from Heritage Wine Cellars, followed by live music from 7 to 9 by Jeff Helgeson. It's 51 degrees, coming up on a minute past 1 o'clock. We'll have a mostly sunny sky with a high right around where we are now.